At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, their Total Trust Guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything they do, from service bay cameras to service bay views to their transparent pricing each and every day. Whoa, have you seen the price of gas lately? Now you can win free gas for a year. Go to speedyoil.com/free gas to enter to win free gas for a year and see more great offers. No purchase necessary. See website for details, restrictions, and exclusions. At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, their Total Trust Guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything they do, from service bay cameras to service bay views to their transparent pricing each and every day. Whoa, have you seen the price of gas lately? Now you can win free gas for a year. Go to speedyoil.com/free gas to enter to win free gas for a year and see more great offers. No purchase necessary. See website for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. You get style. You get features. You get quality and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. In-store or at mybobs.com.
What is shaking? Copes and Tolbert with you. Be with you till 6. Franny, Kevin Franz is going to join us in about an hour. 2:50. Mark Spears, 3:50, and Susan Slusser at 4:50. We'll find out what's going on with the Giants for the second half. What's happening?
Today's the day. No sports. No baseball.
What are you talking about?
No baseball tomorrow.
WNBA game already in the books.
Is our game already over?
Already over.
I missed it.
Already over.
Quakes play tonight?
Don't know.
Like I said, that's Quakes over Cambier 10:50.
Caitlin Clark.
Or is it over on 8:10? I think it's on 8:10 the bread.
Caitlin Clark rolling tonight. Yeah, we already had the Lynx over the Dream.
There you go. Is that their thing? Are they playing day hoop now?
I don't know. They played day yesterday, too. I don't know why.
Is it MLK Day?
Tonight it's Fever Wings. Yeah, I don't think so, is it?
Is it the second MLK Day?
I think we've overshot that by a couple months.
Actually, we did another one exactly like 6 months later.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know why they throw in random day games. Let me see if it's where it was played. Yeah, it was played in Minnesota, so they just it's thrown a day game. Yeah, let's throw in a day game.
Probably at a concert tonight.
See what happens. Right? Probably, yeah.
They wedge it in.
Yeah, they probably had some sort of, I'm trying to think, what kind of festival would they have in Minnesota? I was going to say country, but it wouldn't really be country.
We are rodeo season right now.
Is it rodeo season?
The PBR's down in Salinas this weekend, maybe today.
Is it?
Yeah, pro bull riding. That's pretty sick.
I know it's big in Vegas.
Yeah.
They have like the big
one. Well, that's like a championship. I think this is still part of it. This is like this part of the circuit, I believe.
Is it?
But they do like the rodeo. I didn't even realize that the rodeo is, I looked it up a couple of weeks back, like the one in Salinas. I had no idea what it was. I'd never really been to one. I was like, what do they do? Dude, it's like a whole like 3-day event, and they've got all these different, the one that gets me, maybe people can check in on this. They do a thing called like mutton riding.
Oh, yeah. Like sheep.
Yeah. They get little kids.
I've seen that.
They throw a helmet on them and they got a race on the mutton. You do another one, which is called, is it calf dressing?
Never heard of that one.
Where here's what they do. You can't injure the calf. There's like a calf in a pit, and there's like two guys or maybe three guys. I don't know how many.
Yep.
Anyway, KMBR, let us know about calf dressing. But apparently what they do is they've got a T-shirt and some pants, and they got to get the T-shirt and the pants onto the calf, dude.
Never heard of that one.
My friend was like, yeah, you meet people after, and they got the ribbon on. You're like, are you a real cowboy or are you a calf dresser?
I'd go dress on that one. It'd be easier to get on.
Yeah.
Just slip that thing right
on.
Can't
injure it. There's like different ways you got to put it down, like to try to get the pants. Imagine trying to get to put a slacks on one of those things, you know?
I can think of worse things if you're a rodeo animal to have to put up with.
Yeah.
Just get dressed, you know? It's like being
clothes.
It's like being a dog with a little kid. Right, they always want to put hats on you and clothes on you. The dog's probably like, that's what I always said when we take Lou out. Every once in a while, I'll put her vest on, but it's never that cold. And it was funny because Lori would say, why don't you put her sweater on? Why don't you put this on? I'm like, well, she already has a fur coat on. I go, I think she's probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
I go, dogs that have fur probably are like cool. And then when you put, like, when you dress them up, I always wondered if like other dogs make fun of them. Like they're walking and going, pfft. That stupid Argyle thing you get on.
It'd be like you wearing three T-shirts.
Yeah, like, what are you
doing?
You
walk in, I'm like, what's this idiot doing? Like, you're wearing three T-shirts on top of each other.
You already have fur on. What are we doing here?
Had one shirt. Yeah. Put another one on?
I'm good. I don't need it. It's like drizzling. You're putting this on me. It's like ridiculous. Although, I will say, I used to think the same thing of the little booties that they put on dogs.
I endorse those now because of the heat.
The heat, yeah, the heat. Now, those make sense to me. Those make sense to me.
Now, like, rain boots, I'm not. You throw rain boots on them?
Rain boots, no. Galoshes, dog galoshes.
Even the rain coat is a little self-serving.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I'm doing that for me, so I don't have to deal with the wet dog smell.
How many things do we do for ourselves to make ourselves feel better?
Oh, everything.
Like, don't you think?
95% of our lives, 98% of our lives.
Like, aren't eulogies just all about making ourselves feel like, yeah, I want to let everybody know how much I love this. It makes me feel better for, like, giving a really nice eulogy.
Because at the end, people come up to you and you're like, dude, that was a great eulogy.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great eulogy. You're like, yeah.
Guess how much? Weddings, best man speeches?
Yes.
You kidding?
Guess how much the person that died appreciates it? They don't. They're dead. Yeah. I don't care at this point. That's what I tell people. When I'm dying, you do what you want. I don't care. I can tell you where to put my ashes. At that point, I really don't care.
It's a Louis C.K. joke.
Yeah, flush them. Like, yeah. Ever been a best man? Yes. Yeah. I have been a best man. It was the worst. I won't say worst experience, but it was a rough one. I was going through a bad back phase. My back was an absolute mess. And it was one of those Catholic 3-hour weddings.
Is it broken?
No, you know, my back sometimes would just go out. And I, you know, walk all crooked. And it just takes me like about a week to kind of get back straightened up again. So, Catholic weddings. Anybody ever been to a Catholic wedding? I mean, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. I mean, you're up and down more than a porn star.
And you better bring a book. I mean, that thing's going to be a while.
It's ridiculous. I really didn't need the gong, but thank you. So, finally, I guess it was a priest. I'm not really sure. I know it wasn't a rabbi, but I'm pretty sure it was a priest. He finally comes over because he saw me just struggling.
Spinal.
And he says, "Hey, you want to just sit over here so you don't gotta like up and down all the time?" And I go, "God, that would be great." And I walk over there, and he puts me in this chair. It's like a throne. I'm like sitting there. I felt like I needed a scepter.
Yeah.
Like a just scepter, and go, "All hail." Yeah. I was the priest or something, you know, and everybody's doing the whole man, like. I have no idea how to do this whole thing. Like, I think it's like
you're pretty good at it for not knowing.
Well, I watch enough shows that do it, right? You know, you watch Vikings Valhalla and all that. You know, they're all doing the Catholic thing.
Oh, they're Catholic, like, the Vikings.
I'm like, I'm thinking, well, they converted. Remember, they're pagans.
And then I don't remember.
Oh, you don't?
I don't know about
you remember Shaggy, but you don't remember the Vikings.
Get out of here, dude. So, stop. I took this. Come on. So, I took this to the streets.
So they went from like they're big time pagans, right? And then a lot of them, when they invaded England, went to Christianity. So there was like a big battle between Christianity, like trying to move everything towards Christianity, get rid of paganism. And like the pagans were rough, man. The pagans were Odin was their god and Thor and all that kind of stuff. But the pagans, man, they had no problem sacrificing something for like anything. Oh, you know, have you seen so-and-so the last couple of days? The boat's a little late. Hey, let's sacrifice something for him. Make sure they get home on.
let's go for the rain. The crops are dry right
like
now.
You're sacrifice something, yeah. If you're livestock in the pagan community, it's coming at some point. And then if it's really serious, like they really need some help, then it's just like human. People volunteer.
Well, it's like
then they're like, oh, I get to go see Odin. Cool, I'm good with it.
Yeah, sure.
You go and kill
me. We're going
to Valhalla? We're good.
Yeah, we're good, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm good. Perfect.
You remember the Red Woman in Game of Thrones, dude?
Yes.
She was roasting people like every chance she got.
Yep.
And never helped anything. Yeah, never been. Everybody just kept doing it.
Yeah, no problem with that. That's why I always tell people, AIDS, cancer, bubonic plague, whatever. Religion's killed more people than any disease. Times 1,000. Religion has no problem wasting people in the name of or just sacrifices. Like, hey, you want to? Yeah, I'm good. I'll sacrifice myself. Don't go chill with Odin.
This took a turn,
and Thor.
Yeah. So back to your best man story.
It went from Catholicism to kind of that. But you give the speech and you move on and you try to make it. Here's what I always say to people that give speeches. No one is going to be upset with brevity. Nobody. No matter how good your speech is, no matter how good you think it is, no matter how great you want it to be, you're doing it for your best friend and you want it to be perfect. You want it to be. If you're short, everyone's happy with you. It doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter if it's poignant or not poignant. Doesn't matter if it's funny or not funny. I mean, no, you get bonus for those. But brevity, above all, is what people want. They don't want to sit there and listen to you pontificate. They just want to get back to drinking, dancing, and doing what they're doing. So take it from me. your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. If you're giving a best man speech or if you're a maid of honor, what is that? I don't even know what the maid of honor is. Is that what the best woman is?
Yeah.
Maid of honor?
Yeah. Like the first gentleman.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you're speaking? Keep it short. Just keep it short. You're gold. You're gold. What's that?
Yeah, I've been a best man one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my when my dad murdered my stepmom, they're not together anymore. I'm 0-for-1.
Wow.
Tim's done it six times?
Six times?
Jesus, dude.
You got that speech down pat then, don't you?
With that movie 27 Dresses.
Do you have a good I remember that. I didn't see it, but I remember
always
it.
The bridesmaid, never the bride, huh, Timmy?
Now, was that with?
Catherine Heigl.
Oh, that's a different
one. Heigl and
what was the
James Marsden?
What was the J-Lo McConaughey one? Weren't they in one of those kind of goofy?
Wedding Tomahawk.
That's the Wedding Planner. No,
it was Wedding
not
Tomahawk?
It's not. It's a Wedding Planner, I believe.
Wedding Tomahawk.
Yeah.
Where they take the bride, they scalp her, and then what they do.
Yeah, you got to get to the cave scene. It's a whole thing.
Oh, it's brutal.
What do you got, Tim? You've done it six
You don't
times?
See it coming in Wedding Planner either. It's like well, where that took a weird turn.
Like, relative to Bone Tomahawk, it makes more sense there than in the Wedding Planner.
Yes, it definitely does. Definitely does. So six times, like, who? Family members, friends?
Friends, family members. You're right. Keep it short. Make them laugh. Get out of the way.
Get out. One good, if you have one good zinger, boom. That's it. Leave on a high note and move on, okay? You're not Benny Hinman up there.
Tip your bartender.
Or Youngman or any other Benny for that I know.
Tim, you ever fall flat on a joke? You ever just cricket a room?
You know, I always like to go second so that you can riff on whoever goes first.
Yep.
So you like let the bridesmaid, let the maid of honor go first so that you sound better?
See, I always...
stand-up guy, Tim. Way to go.
See, just
for riffs.
Here's another tip for you. If you have a joke that you think you're not sure which way it's going to go, bring a pencil and a little note card with you. Keep it in your pocket. And then if you hear crickets, just stop for a second. Take the card out. Take the pencil out.
Dab it on your tongue.
Dab it on your tongue and go... And just cross
pretend,
it out.
Pretend like that joke didn't
exactly.
work.
Exactly, and then put it back in your and then put it back in your pocket.
Okay,
and then just move on.
Time's working vaudeville bits now. Tober and Copes with you Wednesday afternoon.
I'm done with that one.
Let's see where this one goes.
And then tell them about Bone Tomahawk. And then you're going to be great after that. Go, hey, have I told you about this new movie that I saw? It's old, but it's incredible.
Greg Silver on the YouTube chat. Oh, he's sitting in there. He said, Tim Poles. 808-KMBR, 415-808-5627. Number to call, number to text. Have you been? Well, how about this? Best and worst experiences with speeches at a wedding.
I like that.
Best and worst experiences with speeches at a wedding. And even better, if you got a bad eulogy story, I'll take it.
Oh, we love bad eulogy stories. Those are the best. If you've ever seen anybody vomit on themselves giving a speech.
All right.
not vomit. Like, I don't
that
mean
was covered
literally.
In the umbrella of
I
bad.
Mean figuratively. Yeah. Like, just somebody bomb up there. And if you have a good bomb, like a eulogy, guys bombs at a eulogy, even better.
Yeah, if a guy tried to work a bit and it didn't work.
Work a bit at a eulogy. Now, that's what, if you can pull that one off, then you should go pro.
Yeah, Tolbert and Copes with you. It with KMBR, if you got any of that, YouTube, KMBR.com, the KMBR app. You can check us out streaming there. We are going to catch up a little bit later in the show with who's going to join us first? Kevin Franzen joins us at 2:50, Mark Spears at 3:50, and then a little bit later in the show, 4:50, Susan Slesman. When we come on back, a little bit on last night's All-Star game. Kind of a fun game, but Logan Webb struggled. That's back-to-back now outings. If you include the All-Star game and his final tune-up before the game, he does not look good. We'll get into that next on the Sports Leader.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, their Total Trust Guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything they do, from service bay cameras to service bay views to their transparent pricing each and every day. Whoa, have you seen the price of gas lately? Now you can win free gas for a year. Go to speedyoil.com/free gas to enter to win free gas for a year and see more great offers. No purchase necessary. See website for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. You get style. You get features. You get quality and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. In-store or at mybobs.com.
Enjoy KNBR in FM at 104.5 FM. Now back to Tolbert and Copes. Tom Tolbert and Adam Copeland on The Sports Leader.
This is the guy that will take the extra base if he puts it in play, and this one may be out of play. He smacks one to right, and it is way out of here.
Jaren Duran about 25 rows up, right center field, a two-run home run, and now the American League is on top, 5-3, a no-doubter that traveled 413 feet.
Tobin and Cubs in the Wednesday afternoon. American League beats the National League yesterday. Jaren Duran wins the MVP after that go-ahead home run, and we'll get into some of the notes and facts of this game. If you haven't had a chance and you're a subscriber to The Athletic, check out Jason Stark's piece today. He does the weird and wild notes column periodically, and yep. He had a bunch of good ones from yesterday. We'll get into some of that, but really, Logan Webb, if you're looking for the Giants' performances in this game, and again, I don't look into much for a performance in an All-Star game ever, except when a guy like Atlee Hammaker or Johnny Cueto goes into the All-Star game as the starter and has been great in the first half, and then it kind of snake bites him in the second half after they blow up. Logan Webb coming off a bad outing to end the first half, not a big deal in the All-Star game, but three runs, three hits, and a walk. Elliot Ramos 0-for-1 with a strikeout by Kirby Yates in the eighth. I'm more mad that it just happened at the hands of Yates, you know?
Why?
It's fine. He's having one of the best years of his career, but I'll look back and be like, man, that guy was an All-Star that year? Kirby Yates? Rangers? I didn't even know. By the way, this is the other thing that pissed me off. I didn't even know what team he was on, really. Because I know he bounced around. He was on Atlanta last year, last couple of years. He was a Padre for a while. He came up with the Rays. And so I was like, is he still in Atlanta? No, he's on the American League. So who's he pitched with? Is it Seattle? Like, we were bouncing around. Those uniforms are awful.
Awful.
Yeah, like, let me know awful. What team the guy's on. It's not the NBA have, where we know where everybody is.
They have the patch on the sleeve. You got to, like, look for it.
It's bad.
It's like, I don't want to look for it. Just put his hat on.
What's the point of uniforms? Yeah. I have to look for what team they're
on. Just let them wear their team unis. That's the best. That was the best. But they got to be able to sell more merchandise.
Yeah.
Come up with some sort of whatever the reject was for the City Connect, let them wear that. It's a team uni, but let you know, something that they don't wear.
We sure that wasn't? You know, like last night's unis?
That couldn't
the
have been.
Reject it. For the City. It wasn't really, but they're just, like you said,
the only one that's kind of cream like that. When the Giants kind of have a cream home, but that's their home uni. The Angels City Connect's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah, they
it's
have
It's kind of a little creamy. I figured you'd like that, too. You'll like this even better. When Duran hit that home run and it was 5-3, is that where the game kind of came undone for the National League? Nobody got that one. I'm sorry. I was trying to work a Duran joke. Yeah, that's okay.
That's a proper gong.
A proper gong. I'll accept that. I'll accept that gong and move on. Most of them I won't. That one I will.
How about some of the Paul Skene stuff in the game? Some of the wild stuff here. So
I don't have it. Yeah, I don't have a Duran bit for Paul Skene.
No, I didn't think so.
No.
I'd hope not. He faced everybody thought he might strike. It was like big talk. Is he going to strike out the side in the first inning? First of all, only two guys ever have struck out the side in the first inning in an All-Star game.
Pedro,
and yeah. Brad Penny in 2006.
Did he really?
That's the other one.
Wow.
I didn't see who the hitters were, but
big torso.
Forever Giant.
Big torso,
big torso
Brad Penny.
Brad Penny.
Big torso. Long torso.
He's eating some boat innings back there, like 08, something like that. Paul Skene, he faced four hitters. He did. Did he walk Soto? Is that what happened? He didn't allow a hit.
Yeah, he walked Soto and then got judged to ground out a third.
How about this? Zero strikeouts, though, for Skene. Now, the reason that's unique is he's made 11 regular season starts. Only one time has he gone through a first inning without a strikeout. It was June 17th against the Reds. In the other 10 starts, 30 outs recorded in the first inning, 18 of them by K.
Wow.
Didn't record one yesterday. Wow. And here's the other impressive thing. Stephen Kwan, he's hitting like 357 or 350-something right now. Huge bat-to-ball guy. Was the leadoff hitter from Cleveland out of East Bay, out of Washington High School in Fremont. He doesn't swing and miss like ever. That's like something that they keep track of is how few swings and misses he has. He hasn't swung and missed at a pitch at 98 miles or harder all season long. He hasn't. He's only swung and missed at one pitch at 100 or more in the last 3 years. And that was, by the way, Jordan Hicks back in 2023. He threw 102.7 mile an hour fastball.
Wow.
That he swung and missed. Yesterday, he fouled off a 98.2, and then he swung and missed at a splinker. And then he popped up. So he swung and missed for the first time at a pitch that hard this season. Pretty incredible.
Now, when Pedro struck out the side, didn't he strike out 5 out of 6?
Yeah, it was something nuts.
He might have struck out all 6. I'm not sure. I know there was a base runner in the second inning. I don't know if he hit somebody or walked somebody or whatever, but I know he struck out the side. I want to say he struck out at least 5.
He might have hit somebody for fun,
Pedro will do that. He hit the Bambino in the ass. Wake up the Bambino. Hit him in the ass, too. Oh, Pedro was awesome. Probably wouldn't awesome if you're facing him. But now, Paul Skene is, look, he's like the next face of baseball. I think. And I think we talked about it yesterday that Major League Baseball did a great job of not only naming him the starter, but naming him the starter 4 or 5 days before the game so everybody kind of get hyped about watching this guy because he's the real deal. Like, he's a guy that if you're baseball, and that's the one thing baseball's had a real hard time doing, is marketing its stars. That's the one thing basketball does great. They market their stars. Like, it sometimes over team, which I'm not crazy about, but I get it from a business standpoint. Football's all about team. Like, it's not stars. They're not going to market stars. There's a few here and there, but, hey, they're wearing helmets, and it's about team. Baseball should be about marketing their stars, and they're doing a good job with Ohtani and Judge. But, you know, Trout was the star of stars for probably 8 years in baseball. I could probably go to the mall. Nobody knows who that guy is. Cabrera?
No.
I mean, he's great. Nobody really knew. I mean, baseball just had a hard time marketing their stars. But that's a guy that they should try to get on when they're showing a game of the week. They should try to show the Pirates when he's pitching. Or put him on national TV, whether it be, I'm not sure if ESPN even shows baseball anymore, but FS1 shows a lot of baseball.
I think they have a Sunday game. Does ESPN still have a 4:30 Sunday game
do.
Or something?
They do. That's right. That's right. I don't know if they have Monday anymore. Anytime you get him, like, in a rotation where you think he's going to pitch, that would be a great time to put the Pirates on national TV because he's worth watching. Like, I don't really watch the Pirates, but when he's pitching, I watch because he's worth watching. Like, he's that good, and he's what you want in a pitcher like that. You want somebody who throws hard, gets strikeouts, and is real. Like Lincecum was a guy. Like, every time Lincecum pitched, I would want him on national TV if I was baseball. Just everything about him drew your eyes to the set, from his size to his windup to his filthy stuff. It was just fun to watch the hair going everywhere, and he was fun to watch pitch.
His story is incredible too. For those that don't know, like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, he was a catcher at Air Force, and he left Air Force to go to LSU.
He didn't even want to leave Air Force. They told him. The coaches at Air Force said, "No, you got to leave because if you stay one more year, then you're committed to the Air Force for like 2 years after you graduate." And like, he's that type of guy. Like,
he's an
honor, you know, this and that. Like, he took it seriously being at Air Force. I read a story in The Athletic, I think I've told before, kind of resonated with me, where he's on the baseball field, and I guess at 4 o'clock every day, they do some sort of salute. I don't know if they lower the flags or whatever, and I'm not sure exactly what it's for, but everybody in the baseball field stops, you know, take your hats off, and stand there and you know, show respect. And he noticed there was a couple guys up on some hill. They're like football guys, like trainers or whatever, guys that work with the football team. And they were kind of messing around. So he gets done with practice, walks up on the hill, and just dresses those guys down for not standing and, you know, showing respect or standing at attention when they're doing their thing at 4 o'clock. I forget what time of day it was. But it was like, oh, damn, this guy's, like, serious. Like, he is serious about the whole thing that goes along with work and the Air Force Academy, all that stuff. So he was going to stay, but the coach of the Air Force said, "Paul, you got to leave, man. You stay here. You're going to be committed to the Air Force. Like, you're going to be a top draft pick. You're too good to stay here." So I don't know if it was him that just said, "I want to leave." It was more like, "Hey, you got to go." So he goes and goes to LSU, and the rest is history.
707 says Air Force was 5 years after university.
Five? Whew. Yeah, I would say that was probably a good move.
By the way, he's the first player ever in baseball history to start an All-Star game the year after he was drafted.
Wow.
Not just as a pitcher, anybody. Nobody does that. And by the way, in that same Jason Stark article, he had looked it up because he's like, the only sport I can imagine that happens more frequently in is basketball. And in the NBA, there's got to be like 40 or 50 of those.
Yep.
There's only 16 guys who have started an All-Star game in the NBA after the year after they were drafted.
Really?
Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
It's like Yao, Grant Hill, Shaq. Like, Shaq. It's a lot of Hall of Famers. So he was saying that as like we don't see this type of stuff in baseball ever.
Yeah.
Where a guy goes last year in college, this year starting the All-Star game. Like, that's NBA type stuff.
No, it's exciting to have somebody like that in baseball. Because how many guys right now? I mean, I'm not talking stuff. Because there's a number of guys in baseball that have stuff. But how many guys in baseball right now, if they're pitching, do you say, "I want to watch him pitch"? Like, I really want to watch that guy pitch. Ohtani, when he's pitching, is one of them. Skeens is another one. I'm trying to think, is there any – I don't think there's any in outside of
there's
Ohtani.
There's guys I really like, but I don't know if they're not. Like Jared Jones, I love to watch. But I don't know if that's as big – like baseball –
He's not a national guy. Like he's not somebody you look at and go, oh, I really got to watch him. I got to watch him pitch. I'm trying to get the rosters – not the rosters, but just the teams and see if anybody kind of –
stands out to you as like a freak. Like Tim Lincecum was must-see pitching. Corbin Burns having a great year, but he's not like national must-see.
Not must-see. Yankees, Cole. I mean, he's fun to watch pitch. Red Sox, nobody. I don't know. The Rays, if do they have anybody?
Come on. They didn't even have starters,
dude. Exactly. Scooble is fun to watch, but he's still.
He's on a terrible team.
Right? He's not on that level where you're like, oh, man, I need to watch a Scooble start. He's good, though. There's no doubt. He's really good. Twins. I can't think of anybody.
Sonny Gray's having a good year. Yeah. He's with St. Louis now, actually. Never mind.
Yes. Royals, Tigers, Scooble, White Sox. Crochet's fun.
Crochet's fun.
But, I mean.
Dodgers may get him, they're talking.
Yeah, they said, though, that he's already reached, like, he might be one of those guys that you trade for and you're not sure how many more innings you're going to get out of him. Because he's one of those guys they're not
sure. Perfect for the Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly. That's
exactly what they need.
Exactly. Mariners, Astros. I mean, Verlander used to be one of those guys. Scherzer used to be one of those. DeGrom. Was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. They're not anymore because, well, either they don't pitch or they're getting a little bit older now. Angels, Athletics, Miller, who looked really good last night, but he's a closer. You're not going to wait around the whole game and go, I can't watch. What.
Mason Miller got the win last night for the American League, and so he's the final All-Star game win for the Oakland A's, and Jason Starr came with this note too. And it's a little specific, but teams have moved before. No player has ever recorded a win in the All-Star game the year that his team was in their final season before relocation. Pretty specific.
Very specific.
Like if a team's going to leave, no, I mean, usually it's a I mean, again, he's the only All-Star from the team. Picked it up in the fifth.
Strider.
Just matter.
But I would say Strider when he's healthy.
Yeah.
He's a guy that I want to watch pitch.
Like he's swing and miss stuff.
He's fun to watch pitch, man.
15 and, strikeout a game potential.
And then, you know, Dodgers, Diamondbacks. I mean, Gallen's good, but I don't, you know, it's not like I have to cease. Really good pitcher, but he doesn't draw me to the TV set. So there's only like, you know, maybe five or six of those guys in the league. Maybe. Skeens is one of them. Like, he's one of those ones that if you're baseball, it's like, let's get this guy out there as much as possible so people can see, you know, hey, this is what we have. Come watch this because he's fun to watch. I mean, I bet you a lot of people watch the first couple innings and go, okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done. I got to watch Skeens. I got
Logan
watch,
give up three in the round.
Got to watch Ohtani hit a 3-run jack.
Well, let's get into that. You said the other guy you'd want to watch pitch, Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
He hits a 3-run home run yesterday, and again, he's now on a list with nobody else. He did something else now that nobody in the history of baseball after that home run has ever done. How much longer do we go before we start talking about this guy as the greatest baseball player of all time? That's next on the Sports Leader.
Tolbert and Copes continue live from the KNBR Casino Matrix Progressive Jackpot Studios. Casino Matrix, progressive jackpots are here. Where are you? Just drop in. Please play responsibly. 1-800-GAMBLER.
Houck's next pitch on the way. Ohtani drives this one to right. Soto doesn't move. He looks over his shoulder. And 12 rows deep it lands. A 3-run home run for the superstar Shohei Ohtani.
I mean, it's that simple. 415-808-KNBR, 808-567. Is Shohei Ohtani the greatest player of all time? I mean, we were like statistically, when it's all said and done, it won't be the case. Maybe in any category, but nobody's ever achieved at this level what he's achieved. Now, he's not pitching anymore right now. Or he's not pitching right now. I do wonder what the value of that deal is if he doesn't pitch. You know what I mean? Like, if what happens with him as a pitcher? Or if it goes away for a while, what if they sit him down for a minute as a pitcher and then he comes back in like 2 years? 3 years, starts pitching again. Oh, hey, what's up? I'm back. I'm throwing again. 3-run home run yesterday. You heard that? You have that back crack.
But his back crack is different.
Houck's next pitch on the way. Ohtani drives this one to right.
I mean, it's just you can play all the back. It's very much like listening to Van Halen. And as soon as a drum gets hit, you're like, oh, that's Van Halen. That's Van Halen. I recognize that drum. Like, oh, that's a. That's AC/DC. That's Ohtani.
Well, unless you're who was all of us? Bill Martin. He didn't recognize AC/DC guitar.
He didn't.
He's a Kid Rock man.
Yeah, he's a Twisted Tea guy. But no, you listen to a bunch of back cracks, you'd be able to pick Ohtani's out easy.
Give me that back crack again, Tim.
Yeah, That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
So, I mean, everything he does, it seems like he's the first guy ever to do it. Nobody's ever done it's, it almost gets tiresome because it just happens over and over. Well, All-Star Game now stuff. Remember, he started an All-Star Game, led off.
Mm-hmm.
He recorded a win in an All-Star Game, had not homered an All-Star Game before yesterday. He's the first player ever now to have homered an All-Star Game and recorded a win. In fact, he's the only player in All-Star Game history to have hit a home run and thrown a pitch in an All-Star Game, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was thinking about this today. Are we watching the greatest baseball player of all time? Because he's doing things that have never been done before. And then I started thinking, okay, well, Babe Ruth did it. And people will say, yeah, but Ohtani pitches and hits at the same time, where Babe Ruth was a pitcher, then he transitioned into a hitter. I don't know how well or if he hit when he pitched.
He did as a crossover for a couple of years, I think, or a season or two. Because he hit, I want to say, I'd have to look at his numbers. I want to say he hit like 28 or 29 homers his first like full year.
Pitching?
Pitching and hitting. He might have done that, but I think even he said it was exhausting. There's a quote to him.
Yeah. Like, well, I think Ohtani's probably in better shape.
Yeah.
I think Ohtani's a better athlete. Now, Ohtani's an incredible athlete, but so I was thinking,
it's fast.
Cause it's not like Ohtani has done maybe Babe Ruth has done as much pitching and hitting at the same time as Ohtani, because let's remember, Ohtani hasn't pitched and hit a lot at the same time because he's usually hurt. He's been hurt a lot as a pitcher. So that one's kind of still on the table, but We've never seen anybody like this. The guy that can pitch, a guy that can hit, a guy that's the athlete he is. So I started thinking, is this the greatest player of all time? Like, is he going to be up there? And I here's what I'll throw out to the listeners: can you consider someone the greatest player of all time if they're a DH? Do you have to play a position? Like, is Ohtani's worth more than, let's say, Willie Mays, who was the greatest defensive center fielder at all time, also hit 660 home runs, and also is one of the smartest players? Like, Ohtani might be one of the smartest players we've ever seen, but it's hard to
you can't really know.
You can't really justify it because he's never out there. He's not, like, moving outfielders around. He's not doing this, not doing that.
I don't know. The finances from the last offseason, I'm not sure I think he's the smartest player of all time. But you're right, because there's no – it doesn't happen – You don't get to feel a player know where to throw on a base. Or remember, Omar Vizquel could do things that you were like, man, he beat the other team with his mind because he knew what to do. Baseball's all about being in the right position, and he never has to do any of that. I mean, I don't know how good of an outfielder he'd be. I imagine
you would
if
think
he,
he'd be good. He I mean, right? He's an athlete.
Yeah.
But he's pitching too. Well, sometimes when he's healthy. But I think if he played the outfield, then you could start having that conversation. You might still be able to have that conversation depending on how his pitching career goes. The rest of the way, because hitting, I think he's already, they said already at 200 home runs. And what is he, 29? He's not that old, 29, 30? Right around there. I'll say 29, but he's probably got
He just turned 30 on July 5th.
Okay, so he's probably got another good 8 years left. This guy's cracking 40, 50 a whack. So he's going to be over 500. He might get to 600 home runs possibly. And that's with,
he's at 200 even.
Yep.
Yeah, that's wild.
So he could get to 500 easy, and maybe more. And who knows? He may be the – like, he's going to be the only guy ever. If you have – I don't know how many wins Babe Ruth has, but as soon as he passes Babe Ruth, then however many home runs he hits, he's going to be the first guy ever with that many home runs and that amount of wins, pitching. Now, it's going to be hard to catch Babe Ruth as far as 714
home runs. Babe Ruth has 94 wins.
Does he really? Okay, so Tony's got a little ways to go. On that one, I mean, that's still pretty impressive. 94 wins, 714 home runs.
So the Babe in 1919, in 1918 and 1919, he played full time. It seems like in the field, he led the league in 1918 with 11 home runs. Led all baseball,
and then
crazy. The next year led it with 29. In 1918, he made 20 appearances as a pitcher, a 2.22 ERA with a 13-7 record.
Okay.
1919, 15 starts, 17 appearances, 9-5 with a 2.97. Hit 29 homers, and then basically stopped. The next year he throws 4 innings for the Yankees. The next year, 9 innings total. This is my favorite thing. In 1930 and in 1933, the New York Yankees at age 35 and then at age 38 ran Babe Ruth out there for a 9-inning start. And he won both of them. One, he gave up 5 runs. One, he gave up 3. And he won. 1930 and 1933, Babe Ruth came out and he made 2 more starts. That's incredible.
Hey, Babe, still got it?
CG.
I can give you 9.
He didn't strike out S, by the way, when he was a pitcher.
He didn't?
No, 1 year he threw like 166 innings, and he struck out 40 guys.
Oh, soft contact. Hey, pitching to soft contact.
Let me ask you this. If Shohei Ohtani never threw another inning, would you feel the same way about this argument? Because that's what we're basing this on. I mean, Babe Ruth, by the way, 94 career wins, 94 and 46.
No, then I don't think there's any way if he's strictly a DH, you could ever put a DH.
Babe was in the field.
Yeah, Babe, and I don't know what type of right fielder he was, but there's no way I could put him ahead of Babe Ruth, ahead of Willie Mays, ahead of, I mean, Ted Williams. I mean, you can start naming guys now that I just, you got to play. I mean, there's defense and offense, and if you're only offense, then it's hard for me to include you into the conversation as far as greatest players of all time. But if he pitches, then you got to ask yourself, okay, what's worth more? I mean, I'm taking Willie Mays as an example because Willie Mays was one of the greatest players ever, and he was the greatest center fielder ever. Like, he was he was incredible offensively and defensively. So if Ohtani pitches, and let's say he's a dominant pitcher for another 7 years, which would be a lot.
I don't know if he pitches and wins that. Babe's at 94 wins. Ohtani's career wins 38-19.
Yeah, he's got a ways to go.
By the way, the Babe threw 1,200 career innings.
But what would equate what Willie was able to do in center field, like pitching wise? Like, that's hard to.
It's once every five. Nobody.
It's hard to quantify. Like, okay, he had 7 really good years as a pitcher versus Willie Mays, who had, what, damn near 20 years as an elite outfielder. I don't know when he started tailing off as an outfielder, but you're talking about a guy who patrolled center field and was the best ever at it, arguably. I don't know how to quantify those two. And that's if Ohtani reaches those milestones in terms of home runs and average, OPS, all that kind of stuff. Like, right now, you could say, in this 4 or 5 year run, because he has pitched, it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, 5 year run in the history of baseball.
Sure.
But when we're talking greatest players of all time, that's 10, 15, maybe even 20 years of production you're looking at. Obviously, he's not there yet. That's why I threw that out there. Are we watching the greatest ball player of all time? Do you think he can even get there? What numbers would he have to get as a pitcher? And how much is a pitcher worth compared to a everyday fielder that plays 150 games?
Well, that's my point. Is nobody
guy starts 30.
What we're saying in our list is you're going like Willie Mays and all that, and who that would be, and like, yep, the greatest player of all time. And maybe it is Mays, maybe it's Ruth because, yep, of the home runs and, mm-hmm, the numbers pitching. But nobody ever considers just a pitcher the greatest baseball player of all time.
No,
it's more about, it's so unique and it's so out of this world that nobody's ever done it at this rate, even Babe Ruth. When he did it,
yep,
it was home runs were even so new that he went from 11 to 29 and,
yep,
led the league in both seasons. And then he said it was too exhausting. He had also, by the way, thrown 1,200 innings nearly at that point in his career.
Did he really?
Yeah, he had three years where he threw like 300 or more innings. I think he's throwing like every other day.
That's crazy.
That's insane, dude. And he's probably like crushing hot dogs and beers or whatever. Just one. That's even more impressive, maybe, than what Ohtani's doing. Kevin Franz is going to join us. We can get into this with him. And I want to get into some more Hall of Fame stuff, too. We'll come back to some of this conversation. We'll get to more of your calls. I saw Sean was waiting in Vacaville. Sean, we will get to your call a little bit later, or give us a call back, 808-KMBR. Kevin Franzen joins us next on the Sports Leader.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, their Total Trust Guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything they do, from service bay cameras to service bay views to their transparent pricing each and every day. Whoa, have you seen the price of gas lately? Now you can win free gas for a year. Go to speedyoil.com/free gas to enter to win free gas for a year and see more great offers. No purchase necessary. See website for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. You get style. You get features. You get quality and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. In-store at mybobs.com.
Follow KNBR on Facebook. Now back to Tom Tolbert and Adam Copeland. Tolbert and Copes. On KNBR 104.5. 104.5 and 680. The Sports Leader.
Sports Leader. What's shaking? It's always fun to hook up with our friend. Calling games now for the Nats and former Giant. Former Angel, former a lot of things, also former National, Kevin Franzen. What's going on, Franny?
What's up, bro?
Oh, man, we're still here in Texas. The fam's here. Great Fort Worth. I hadn't been here in like 23 years because that's where, you know, when TCU was in the WAC was just fantastic. So there's a lot of growth here. Let's just say that. My goodness.
TCU in the WAC. Jeez, we're going way back.
Dude, TCU, we remember we had TCU, Rice, La Tech, Hawaii. Like, we ranged the entire U.S., but yes, we were the Western Athletic Conference.
Yeah, like the ACC now, so, like the new ACC.
Yeah. Dude, isn't that unbelievable? Like, I can't – they were having the SEC meetings were here at the same time as the All-Star game. Just so happened to be, you know, that timing. And the people around here are just talking about how it's just straight free agency now. And I just can't believe that's the world that we've gotten to in college sports. It's like, I get it. I get the money part. I get, you know, at some point they're going to try to address it. I didn't think they were going to go this route where it's just going to be every year, new team. Every year, new team.
All right, we'll give you, since we started there, we'll give you a little quiz right off the bat.
Don't even do it.
Let's see if you can name two WAC basketball teams.
Right now?
That are in the WAC right now.
Grand Canyon.
Didn't they just leave?
I thought they left.
I think Grand Canyon left. I think they might have left.
My God, New Mexico State?
But you are right about Grand Canyon was in there last year. I'll give you partial credit
for
that.
They were last year.
New Mexico State is a clank.
Dude, this is – I don't even know what's going on now, like, with it. Because with the Beavers and Cougars having their own little soiree for their media days, the Pac-2 is amazing. Yeah. the Beavers and the Cougars just together is amazing.
You gotta love it.
It's like a barbecue in the backyard.
You forgot about Tarleton State.
Yeah, I didn't even know they existed.
Seattle U.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wasn't that one Seattle Pacific?
I have no idea.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Seattle Expulsion.
I know they're the Red Hawks. Stephen F. Austin, Abilene Christian, seriously? California Baptist.
Oh my God! Dude, I knew Abilene Christian because that was like it's always the first team on college football when you're making a player back in the day.
Yeah.
Or Madden.
Yeah, so right? they make you meet Stephen F. Austin, Abilene Christian. And I was like, "That's a guy, Abilene Christian." Like, that's a guy. What is that?
Yeah, I was like Abilene Christian. I was like, "No, my name is yeah." No. Anyway,
Rio Grande Valley.
That's the stuff. Ooh, yeah, I totally didn't know that one either.
UTRGV.
Exactly.
We're just thinking about it. It was like mostly the Mountain West Conference, right? Like when we were there and then it went to Conference USA, Mountain West, and one other. That's where the WAC kind of split up, but then the WAC stayed apart. We're like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Let's start with Skeens.
All West.
I want to start with Skeens. I want to ask you because I said I thought baseball did a great job not only naming him the starter, but naming him 4 or 5 days out. So everybody knew. Like they could say, oh, I want to watch this dude. Yeah. I want to watch this dude pitch. How does baseball get more of that? Because basketball, that's the one thing they do really well is promote their stars. Baseball hasn't done it as much. Ohtani is a guy that I think most people know. Judge, that's the two most recognizable players in baseball now. And Skeens may be that next guy that they need to try to, like, get out there and show him on Sunday Night Baseball or Saturday Night Fox, whatever it may be. How does baseball go about doing that, like trying to get, like, a young star like him and make him one of the faces of baseball? I don't know if it's too early because he hasn't accomplished as much, but you want to get people in on this on the ground floor so they know who he is.
Well, I like to yell at the old guard on this one because, you know, most of the guys were saying he doesn't have enough dirt in his spikes to do this. I'm like, who does? Who does have enough? Like, he's one of the best pitchers in the game. Like, it is easy to see.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch him go on the mound and he dominates, like, it is easy to see. So, we had Manfred on yesterday, the commissioner, on our doing the All-Star game coverage on the field. And that was, like, one of my questions. I was like, look, the NFL and the NBA have done, like, the best job possible at, like, you know, grappling and taking a hold of a youngster and riding them as much as they can. How can we do that with this? And he's like, well, we're still looking into it. I'm like, that's the problem. We're still looking into it.
Blue ribbon committee.
Like, that's right. But that's the thing is that like, we are so far behind the times that it is like, you look at, you know, the guys that hate the game now, right? Like, cause it's not the game it was, like, who cares? Like, it's the game.
Yep.
Like, that's what holds us back. That thought process holds us back all the time, because when you're trying to grow the game, you're trying to think of new innovative ways to do it. And if you're getting away from the old school way, people are going to hate on it. So you got to get away from that. You got to be able to understand that these young kids, look at how many youngsters are out there. Paul Skeens is the first ever to be drafted the year before to be in an all-star game, and let alone he's starting it. Right. So, I mean, like, that's the way that Torrey Lovello like did it with Dan Patrick, right? He announced it on there. I was like, that, I mean, Torrey's grown up in the Hollywood area. His dad was Howdy Doody and all that stuff, was one of the actors and producers of that show. And so he knows the Hollywood way. Well, that was a perfect Hollywood thing to do. Put out Paul Skeens right there. You knew that whole thing was going to happen. I'm so fired up that Juan Soto walked in that, because what I wanted was him to point at Juan Soto and just point to first because he wanted Judge. That's what I wanted. Like, just to do that. Just that would have been even better in an all-star game. But, I think we're still learning, and which sucks is we're still learning. We're still trying to figure out ways. Guys like Skeens, like, think about it. Most, like, I think 11 starts now in the big leagues. I want to say it's 6 or 7 of them have been in day games. Over half of them have been in day games. So you're not getting that national coverage on a night game nightly. And, that's a struggle. And trying to time it up and do all that, because no one knows, like, he's not every fifth day. He's every sixth day, maybe a seventh day. So I think that's a part of it. Not understanding the schedules of what the teams are going to do, because you don't want to give away your hand. So I think that's a part of it. I mean, there's so many excuses to have there instead of being like, just promote them. Like, this is great. We need all these youngsters in there because our game is so youthful and so athletic, and we just need to really grasp a hold of that and run with it.
Talking to Kevin Franz here on the UMA guest line. I was on coverage for the SiriusXM for All-Star Game and Home Run Derby. We were talking about Shohei Ohtani and the home run last night. Yeah. Becomes the first player ever to even throw a pitch, let alone get a win and hit a home run in an All-Star Game in his career, which is pretty incredible.
Speaking of which, how fitting is it that Mason Miller, the last time in Oakland Athletic, is ever going to be in an All-Star Game, which is the saddest thing we know, is the winning pitcher, though. That's even better. I was like, yes, good. Solidify that. But his uniform should have been on the damn mound. Never mind. Those uniforms are awful.
They're terrible. I was like, I forgot what team Kirby Yates was on. I was like, what team is this guy on?
Right.
And I was all pissed. He struck out Ramos. I was like, damn, I didn't even know what team this guy's on. He's an all-star. He's
playing
Ramos.
How are we doing that to Ramos without, like, letting him show off his quads? You know what I mean? Like, the way he wears his pants already, he wants to show off the quads. He couldn't show off the quads last night in the Navy outfits. So,
Freddie wants unis and quads, dude. Bring unis and quads back to the All-Star game. We were talking about what Ohtani's place in history is. Not just, like, can you call him the greatest player of all time, even if he keeps pitching, if he only ever DHs?
No. I think he needs, like, it sucks. He needs a couple more years of, like, the pitching part, but at what level, like, as a starter or as a reliever, right? Like, even if he relieved, I'd be like, yeah, for sure. Because I mean, like, he's doing things that we haven't seen. Like, we haven't seen this, we didn't have the technology to see any of the other stuff with, like, the Babe Ruth that everyone wants to call, go about. We've talked about this before. Like, he's already faced, like, three times as many guys as Babe Ruth has ever faced, right? Like, different pitchers. Like, you're looking at that, he's almost at 1,000 different pitchers that he's faced.
He's facing Farhan's Giants, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's cycling through this. Can I riff? I'm just riffing. They have like 70, like 90 guys on the team a couple years ago. I'm just kidding. Just messing around.
Sorry, he lost my train of thought. But, yeah, can he be considered the MVP? That's what everyone's problem is this year. Like, oh, he can't be. I'm like, I mean, we've never seen a DH do it, but, like, he's doing things at the DH level. Like, he's stealing bases. He's making an impact offensively and on the base paths that we haven't seen in a while. Yeah, I love the true aspect of a full baseball player, right? Being able to go play in the outfield, infield, whatever it may be, be a catcher to do it is a special thing. But, like, okay, why have pitchers won it before? Like, why have pitchers won the MVP? They're only pitching. oh, they hit two. Yeah, they hit like maybe what, you know, have like 50 at-bats in a year to change anything? No, they never did that. So why were they winning it?
Because I disagree with that. I actually don't agree with that. I think there's an award for that. I don't think they should be giving pitchers.
No.
Yeah, I'm with
that. I've always thought that was crap. Yeah. I was like, come on, man. Like that. Let alone. So anyway, the fact that they've done that, it's already a precedent that you could do it. You could give it to a DH because he's actually provided more value every day, playing every day, right? Like giving you almost 600-700 plate appearances, or for in his case, probably closer to 750-800 plate appearances this year.
That was my argument when I was thinking about this last night, Franny, was, and I was using Willie Mays as an example because he's one of the best players of all time. It's usually him and Ruth that people want to debate. So let's say we're watching, and I was thinking, are we watching right now the greatest ball player of all time because of what he's able to do? He's got to stay healthy. He's got to pitch more. But let's say he does pitch more, and he's got a long way to go as far as numbers like what Mays had. I mean, he's got a long ways to go. He could get there. But let's say he does get there, just for argument's sake. Mm-hmm. How much is a pitcher worth versus what Willie Mays was worth out in center field? Because you're talking about the greatest center fielder, defensive center fielder of all time. So, sure, you have an impact 30 times a year more than any fielder because you have the ball in your hands. But if you're talking about a guy like Willie Mays, who was out there 150-plus games a year, patrolling the outfield, kind of controlling the outfield, all the things that allowed him to be Willie Mays, not just athletic ability, but intellect as well. Like, how do you equate that with what a pitcher does? Like, because if you're going to be the best of all time, I mean, Babe Ruth, I'm sure, wasn't a great right fielder, but he was out there. I mean, he had to be out there in right field. Yeah. He played a position. So how do you equate that? Like, can we even have the discussion about a DH being the greatest of all time? And again, he's not there yet. I just wondered this when I was watching the game, thinking, God, this guy, could we be watching the greatest of all time? Like, where are you with that? Because I'm just wondering what the value is of a pitcher who pitches 30 times a game versus a guy who's a great outfielder or even, let's say, a great shortstop that impacts the game 150 times a year.
Yeah, it's the question that I think we all keep asking because we don't know. We truly don't know because I think the 30 games that he impacts as a pitcher obviously gives you great value, but what kind of value? Like if we're talking about a guy that's giving you five innings, that's not value, mm-hmm. right? Like what we've seen from him, we've seen 6 and 7 innings, that's value. And then you add in, you know, like what I don't think you can equate it because I feel like the defensive center fielders that you see like Willie Mays, you know, the guys that let's go to like, the now, like Kevin Kiermaier, what does he make his pitchers have got to feel a sense of like relief that they know that they have a guy that's going to make up for it in center field, right? Like guys like that don't just the value doesn't just go about their play, mm-hmm. it's what they do to everybody else, and I think that's something. And I think that if we saw Shohei in the outfield a couple times a year, to go along with maybe the pitching part, to go along with the hitting part, I don't think people question anything. And I feel like he's going to do it.
Because then he's playing baseball. He's doing all of it.
Right. But at the same time, it's like, you know, he's rehabbing from this whole thing, and you're going, okay, could he do the outfield thing? Absolutely. You could watch him run around in the outfield, shag fly balls, and it's easy. Like, I almost want to just see him do it just so he could shut everybody down. And I'd be like, what else do you need to know? What, you need me to go Mark Kotze at Fullerton and start throwing bullpens out in the outfield to come out close the ninth? Is that what you need me to do? I'll do that. But I think what Shohei does is, like, you know, he gives you that sense of, like, you're back in Little League. You know, other than the fact that he's not in the field right now, but when he's doing the pitching part, you're a Little Leaguer again. You're like, that's the greatest Little Leaguer that we've ever seen. Like, that is – he's doing it on the big league diamond. And I think that's, like, the aura that he's brought. Now, the value part, as far as the everyday center field, I don't think we could ever put a value on that.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Willies of the world, there's nothing that you could compare it to. And so the value is beyond just the numbers. It goes to the teammate part and what they do to elevate you. And I feel like talking to so many of the guys, talking to Freddie Freeman about him, about Shohei, I'm like, what does he do? He goes, man, he makes me like want to be better because it's like, I can't hit a ball harder than him. I know who I am. I'm not trying to do it, but he's like, I try to strive to get to that one day. And you're going, wait, but there's no way I could do that. You know what I mean? But it creates that competition within. So there's that part. I mean, what's a value on that?
Oh, it was funny. You're talking about Freddie Freeman talking about hitting the ball hard.
Yeah.
We play that clip of his home run last night. I know you heard it, but I said, Tim, I equated it to Van Halen. Like, you don't know right off the bat, maybe, if it's Van Halen, if you don't know all the Van Halen songs. But as soon as they start drumming, as soon as Alex Van Halen starts drumming, you're like, that's Van Halen. Like, that's Van Halen. Yes. And I made that analogy with Shohei Ohtani, how his home runs sound. Like, you can listen to a bunch of home runs, and then you hear this sound.
Hawks next pitch on the way. Ohtani drives this one to right.
Come on, dude.
I mean, it's like, all I need to do is hear the crack of the bat, and I can go, oh, that's Ohtani. Yeah. That's his crack of the bat.
You know, like most of the time, it's a thwack, right? Like, the THW. That one's just like, no, that's just different. Like, all you just say is it's different. You can't describe it. It's like, that's Ohtani. He had one against us this year in Washington. He hit it 119 off the bat, and he top spun.
What? 119?
Guys, he top spun.
Kill somebody.
Yes. Luckily, we had like a few seats that were open in the right field stands. You know what I'm saying? Like, wink. And it hit off that pretty hard. But you're going like, dude, he didn't even backspin it. He got it. It was like, it didn't carry it as far as you thought it would. But he hit 119, and you heard it. And the field mics, like, at our place are great. Like, our people set it up awesome. And it's like ESPN's, I think, a little bit dumbed down. Like, it actually makes it feel real. Like, ESPN makes it, like, I would have loved to have played during these Sunday night baseball games.
Oh, they enhance all the sound.
Oh, dude, jam shots sound like they are the best hits on earth.
I know.
So, like,
I think every bat breaks.
I'm like, oh, that's a rocket. Oh, pop up to short.
No. 65. Oh, my God. But, like, he hit it, and it was one of those where we're going, did you hear that? Like, did you, like, it's unbelievable. And you ask Kaybert or Riley Adams, our catchers, about it, and they're like, yeah, you don't want to sit there and fanboy about it, but you're going, that's louder than anything you've heard.
Well, the one that got me was a couple years ago in the All-Star game. They caught Bryce. We're talking to Kevin Franz on the UMA guest line. They had Bryce. I mean, they have mics everywhere, but Bryce was mic'd up, and I think Trout scored on, like, a base hit from second or something like that. And and then Bryce was like, dude, I can't get over how loud his running is from the dugout. He's like, you can hear his run. Like, Trout runs like a horse.
Yeah.
You can hear him coming.
So when Giancarlo was playing and I was playing first and Trout, only two guys, I take it back, Puig. So Puig, Stanton, and Trout were the loudest runners down the line. And everyone that had been around in the 80s to see Bo said Trout is the only one that they could hear from the dugout since Bo.
Wow.
When he was running down the first base line, you heard every step, and it was like, come on. And you heard the Trout, like, when Trout would run down the line, you're like, damn. Like, that's with the full house. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's some different power that you're going, like, I don't know. I would love to know what that feels like to understand, like, to hit a ball that far, but to run like that with that much, you know, behind it would be incredible.
Talking to Kevin Franz, and nice enough to join us. He was at the All-Star game yesterday, home run derby the day before. Let's get a Giant question in. And just, guy, were you with the Giants right now? Because I keep saying, look, if their pitching is what we think it might be, Snell's starting to pitch better. Webb had a rough outing right before the All-Star game. And Robbie Ray's coming back. Cobb's coming back. They got some of the young guys. I still think they're in pretty good shape just because it's kind of a mess in the middle, and I don't know that anybody's running away with it. I think it's Cardinals-Mets right now. They're in the top two spots. You guys are in on it. The Cubs are there, the Diamondbacks, the Padres. I go, the Giants have one thing nobody else has. They have, like, six starters, maybe even seven, and they have, like, two Cy Youngs and a guy that was a runner-up for Cy Young. I go, if they pitch well, I think they can be right there and are going to have a good shot once it comes middle of September. How do you look at their team?
Just look at the last start by Snell, and I'm like, that if you can get that, and I'm not saying it's going to be like that every start, but
yeah.
I mean, we've seen the runs that he's gone on before. They're in good shape because you can add in, you know, Logan can kind of find his way throughout it, and I think he will. I think guys like, you know, you see the Blake Snells of the world go on runs like that and someone follows, right? Because it just, like, it enhances their game. We were just talking about that, like, with Freddie and Ohtani, and it just, you get behind that stuff. So the Birdsong thing is, like, watching him pitch, my God, what is that? Like, that thing, he's something that I'm like, this could be a really, really, really solid, like, three for you, or it could be one of those guys in the pen that goes to the pen later on like in the postseason run and becomes just that just dominant. Who is this guy? Like he just comes in, faces, you know, what, nine guys, punches out seven of them. Like he just feels like he has that about him. So, you know, the Robbie Ray's of the world. I think he is really good. But when you've been off that long, like you got to see it, you know, but if you're going to get the Blake Snells of the world, like you did just the other day, oh, that was like, that's not fun. Like for any hitter, you don't want that. And I think what happens for the Giants, I think coming out of the break, I think they go to Colorado, right?
Yes.
Yep.
They start in Colorado. And I think that's a huge thing because they go to Colorado Dodgers. I was
then
talking
Colorado.
About it yesterday and then Colorado again. And I think this is a stretch where you have to get the Dodgers, right? Like you have to at least take two or three at Dodger Stadium.
It's four of them.
Because of, or
four
two,
at Dodgers. You want to split it.
Two, think, you have to go three. You have to go three or four against them because to me, you have to go against a team that's struggling right now. Like they are, like they're limping in the break. They still don't, they're not going to be, you know, full strength. And I think that is a huge factor and you got to take advantage of those. So, are they in it? Absolutely. I think you look at the schedule that they have. I think it's very winnable. I think there's a lot of things that they could do, but it's like everybody else. Everybody's going to be looking for pitching. They're not going to be looking for like the high end pitching. I think maybe, man, I was trying to think about who they would go get. There's no shortstops available, right? Like there's not a lot of guys that
they're probably an outfielder or a pitcher.
Yeah.
The Elliot Ramos and Matos, if they let him go, they let him cook a little bit. That'd be nice. You know, what is Yaz? What is Lamont? What is, you know, are we going to get late night Lamont like what he was before he got hurt? Because that was stupid. That was an all-star already, right? Like they would have had three had he not gotten hurt. So I think they're in a good spot. I think the Padres are – I don't know, man. They're different. They're different than they were when they were a better team with Juan Soto last year. They're not a better team, though. They're a better team right now. And I think that's, you know, it's going to be a dogfight at the end because the Diamondbacks have been playing well. Mm-hmm. Corbin Carroll finally started going about the last week of that first half, quote-unquote first half, game 96. Doesn't matter. It's one of those things that you're looking at Corbin Carroll like, he's a game changer. Christian Walker's been on fire. There's a lot of things. It's who takes care of business against the Colorado Rockies at the end. We all know that. It's the last place team that everyone has to beat up on. Who does it the most? And at the end of the day, that of those three, that's who's going to be in it. And so they're in a good spot. They're in a good spot. I like it. I like what I've seen from them of late because it wasn't great early. We know that.
Real quick before we run, I asked you about Skeens and marketing and all that kind of stuff. Who else – in Major League Baseball right now, if you were
Bobby Witt Jr.
who?
Bobby Witt Jr.
I was going to say Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson. Those are like the two guys that I'd be like wanting to get out there and show the public. Like I know not a lot of Oriole games have been on. They are recently. Royals not as much, but Bobby Witt Jr. is worth the price of admission. If those two are guys, and you already said Bobby Witt Jr., if you agree with Gunnar Henderson, who else is out there right now that's young that you say, hey, this is somebody who Major League Baseball should try to get out there so people know who they are?
I mean, they're doing a better job of CJ Abrams, who's our shortstop.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's a flat-out stud and being so young. You could go up and down the league. There's so many first-timers. You know who's not going to get enough love? Who is, like, he's going to be a damn superstar is Jackson Merrill.
He's been really good. Center fielder
from the Padres for 20 years old, dude. Come on. Like, he's doing things that you're going – the fact that, like, of all the Jacksons that were 20-year-olds and coming up for the first time this year, he's the one that stood out more than anything. And, you know, so you got that going. You got – I mean, you can still push Judge even more. I think you need to. I think you can't sit on the fact that, like, oh, Aaron Judge, he's still doing it. It's like, yes, but you got to continue on and pushing it. That is the problem. I think we get too stale because we feel like everyone, we're okay. They're okay. No, I feel like the NBA does such a good job at pushing Steph, and Steph gets out there, and they got to have the people that are willing. That's the other side of this. The players have to be willing to go out and do it, not just be asked, can you do this for us? Like, be like, I want to do this. Bryce is another part of that where he has done such a damn good job of marketing himself, but allowing them to be, you know, in the Phillies, allowing him to be him, to be marketable. And it's such a great thing for the game. Keep going. Don't stop with it and don't get comfortable with it.
Isn't it funny? I know we got to run, but I was just thinking, you mentioned Bryce, and I was thinking, isn't it funny? Like, you look back, like the kind of the evolution of Bryce Harper. He first comes to the league. He's brash. The ridiculous
voted gold, the most overrated player by the league.
Ridiculous
the
gold cleats. Right. I'm the man. Yeah, attitude. Like, you know, attorney his teammates off because of some of the stuff he did. Yeah. And now he's like the wise sage, like the veteran. Like I mean, I love watching him play. I think he loves baseball. He's an at bat you don't want to miss when you're watching a Philly game. Like, he is pay per view. Like, he's the guy you want to watch. But he seems to have, like, embraced, like, where he's at right now. I don't know how much he would say he's changed, but we've all changed. From the time you're 18 to the time you're 30, you mature, and you look back and go, yeah, I probably wouldn't do that now. I'm probably just going to go ahead and do this. But it's interesting watching him and the maturation process from, like, an 18, 19-year-old to where he is now. Because I think you're right. He embraces all that stuff, and he does it in a way that benefits baseball and the Phillies.
Well, I think what I told him the other day, we had a conversation about this, and I said, you realize that you are the reason why these young kids are who they are and allowed to play like this, because you fought, like, you took it on the chin for a lot of people. And he did, because he played with a lot of passion. He played with a lot of, you know, followers that were like, was he trying a little bit, but not always. I mean, it was like, he was a lightning rod for everything. He took it on the chin to allow all these players to play like this, I feel like. And that's a good thing. And, you know, the one thing that I will say is he's grown up. He's grown up considerably, but he's also been allowed to grow up. I would say he was protected so much in Washington that it played against him. He was not allowed to be a kid, right? He was forced to be someone that he wasn't technically wanting to be. You know what I mean? Like, and it kind of turned him off to certain things and certain people. And I think when he was allowed to get away from that, he just was able to be himself and be involved in things that he wanted to be in, talk to who he wanted to talk to, and not feel like he had to force everyone away and do this. You know what I'm saying? And I think that there was a maturity that happened based on just being able to, like, let his wings out and fly, man. Yeah. Like, I think he was – and, you know, the Nats did a lot of favors for him in a good way, too, because they tried to protect him. They were trying to do the best thing for him, but maybe that wasn't at the time. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, he's in a great spot. He is in a great spot, and he's playing his butt off.
Yeah. All right, brother, we'll let you go. We appreciate you joining us. Go have fun with the kids, and we'll catch up with you down the road somewhere.
Later, bro.
Yeah, 95 here at, like, 5 o'clock at night. It's perfect.
Dude, you got a pool?
Yeah, we already went in.
Oh,
yeah.
Going again.
Yeah, no, the eyes are hurting right now. Kids have goggles.
Get those goggles on. Get those goggles on.
Australia, man. I couldn't see for like 6 hours. It was unbelievable.
I was going scuba gear, you know.
No, that was the beer you were drinking, Cubs, with the water.
No, it was not, dude. It was the particles in the water that were disgusting. All right, Franny, catch you later, man.
All right, boys.
See you, Franny.
Kevin Franz, and we've gone way over. We'll take a quick break, get into some of what Franny said. Also, we got to get into where the Giants are in the second half. It's Tolbert and Coates Wednesday afternoon, the Sports Leader.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, their Total Trust Guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything they do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to their transparent pricing each and every day. Whoa, have you seen the price of gas lately? Now you can win free gas for a year. Go to speedyoil.com/free gas to enter to win free gas for a year and see more great offers. No purchase necessary. See website for details, restrictions, and exclusions.